Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
There's total confusion out there. All right, how about since this side has less in numbers, we'll let this side start. This side start, okay? And then this side, you play with them? Okay, but yeah, that's fine. All right. So you guys follow my. This side follows my. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. That was fun. You did really good. We don't have an overhead for this next chorus, and I don't know all the verses there are to it, but we might sing a couple. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
He gives me living waters.
He gives me living waters, and I thirst no more. He gives me living waters, and I thirst no more. He gives me living waters, and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Does anybody know another verse to that? You don't know this song at all. If you want joy, you must laugh for it. All right. Some of these are not real scriptural, but we'll do it.
If you want joy, you must laugh for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Okay, let's sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and we'll end with that.
Joy, 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 down in my heart.
I've got the joy, 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 down in my heart.
Down in my heart to stay.
And I'm so
happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer, way down in the depths of my heart.
Where? Down in the depths of my heart.
Where? Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer, way down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. To stand, I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart,
and I'm so
joy, 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 down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy,
down in my heart,
down in my heart. To sing, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
Down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. H-E-R-A-T, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, H-E-R-A-T, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Praise the Lord. Yes, amen.
Praise. Do you need a break, Gail?
Why don't you have a seat? Anybody with a testimony? Anybody with a testimony? Go ahead, Mark.
Last Wednesday was you at the pool for the school, and it went really well. From the testimonies we had, youth group on Wednesday night, it all went very, very well. God really moved on the campuses. There were 20 kids at my school, personally, no adults whatsoever. But it was really good. God really moved.
Anybody else? Debbie? Page 230, Joy Unspeakable. Probably can't guess, but focusing on joy tonight. Joy Unspeakable. Rejoice in the Lord.
All I have has now. never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All I have has never yet been told.
On the last verse,
I have found the joy no tongue can tell. How its ways of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told.
Page 260. Let's sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. 1, 2, 3, and 5.
As a sinner far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. But the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his fold. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, the hallelujah scroll. Help me bring the Savior's praises far and wide. Opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Though the world may sweep around me with her dazzle and her dreams, yet I envy not her vanities and pride. For my soul looks up to heaven where the golden sunlight gleams, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, the hallelujah's roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. For all the chosen millions would I leave this precious place, though the tempter to persuade me oft has tried. For I'm safe in God's pavilion, happy in His love and grace, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, the hallelujah's roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. On the streets of glory when we reach the other shore, and have safely crossed the Jordan's rolling tide, you will find me shouting glory just outside my mansion door, where I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me sing my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand.
Sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be. Your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be. Worthy of all praise. On the second verse, I give glory to your name. Above all the earth.
exalted far above.
You may be seated. Thank you. Glenn, you want to come and receive the offering tonight? Announcements. Tomorrow night there's a fellowship meeting. Our tongue was singing, and then the people that saw this said, even among the heathen saw it and said, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for his people. Thing that made them sit up and take notice was the laughter in their mouth, the singing with their tongue. What we're talking about tonight is rejoicing, the weapon of rejoicing, the weapon of praise. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing and your anointing upon the word this evening. We ask, Lord, that you would give each of us the grace to be able to apply this weapon, because this is the most difficult weapon of all so far to be able to apply. And yet, so far, I believe that it is the most powerful. And so give us grace and help, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody is searching for happiness, but relatively few people ever find it. True, some people find a kind of superficial kind of happiness. But really, it's only temporary. It doesn't satisfy the inner person. The world's definition of happiness is self-gratification. It's pursuing new thrills and new excitements. And this kind of selfishness seeks out lust and passion and pleasure for their own sake. And do you know that if pleasure becomes central to your life, if the thing that becomes the most important thing in your life is pleasure, it soon dominates everything that you do. And you become worn out trying to feed its uncontrolled cravings. Because you can never, ever get enough of pleasure, worldly pleasure. And eventually the people who seek so hard for pleasure become enslaved to it. They become slaves of the pleasure that they are trying to seek after. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 describes people who are enslaved to this world's value system. The scripture says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures." Serving pleasures. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. These are people who live for the moment. They forget the importance of life down the road. They forget the importance of long-range goals. They take advantage of other people so that they can selfishly fulfill their own needs and desires. A life lived like this, lived solely for pleasure, is doomed for sorrow. Sadly enough, we live in a society that has gone pleasure crazy. For many, pleasure is the highest priority in life. They won't do it if they don't think they're going to get pleasure in it. The Apostle Paul foresaw this situation when he wrote that the people who live in the last days will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that warning holds true for us today. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, an interesting statement is made. "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Those that live in pleasure, their whole life is wrapped up in pleasure. They are dead while they are living. Proverbs 21:17 adds to that insight. "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." And Jesus referred to this type of person when he said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." You know, whenever I read that verse up until the time I was preparing this sermon, I always thought that it was the cares and the worries of life that choke the Word of God out. But there's something else that chokes out the Word of God. It's the pleasures that we seek in this life. It's just as dangerous as the cares and the worries and the concerns that we have. And these people, despite their pursuit of pleasure, their true inner condition is miserable. The writer of Proverbs said, "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that myrrh is happiness, or is heaviness." Some people, even though they may laugh outwardly, inside there is incredible sorrow in their heart. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and that end of that myrrh is going to be a deep heaviness that comes upon them. The search for joy is never ending when you conduct it apart from the reality of Christ. When you look for joy and fulfillment in people, places, positions, or possessions, joy becomes elusive. You might see it and you might think that you can grab it and you can attain it, but when you go to reach it, it eludes itself out of your grasp. Why? Because you can't control people. Places eventually bore you. Possessions can be destroyed. Positions can be taken away from you. Your security can only be found in Jesus Christ. Your security can only be in Him and in His kingdom and the eternal realities that we find in His Word. That's where joy comes from. That's where joy will be everlasting and eternal. The true Christian joy has its roots deep in God.
Circumstances, moods, seasons, people, or possessions do not affect this kind of joy. And according to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. So as we seek the kingdom of God, we will find righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now there are four foundation stones. These stones must be in place if we are going to live in the joy of the Lord. This is the foundation. You have to build on these foundations in order to have the joy of the Lord. The first foundation stone is turning to God with all your heart so that you can trust in Him for all your life. Turning to God with all your heart so that you trust in Him for all your life. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. I'm giving you a lot of scripture this evening because joy and rejoicing is a major theme throughout the scriptures. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You have to turn to God. You have to believe in Him with all of your heart. And then when you trust Him for all your life, you will find joy and peace in that believing, in that trust. Turning your life over to God and trusting in Him is essential for permanent joy. If you want to have a joy that is just not temporary, but you want to have a joy that is long-lasting, everlasting, you have to turn your life over to God. You must turn your life over to God. You have to make Jesus Savior and Lord of your life. The second foundation stone is entering into kingdom living. This means coming under the government of God. I'll have a lot more to say on this in the weapon of authority. But it's coming under the government of God, God's ways and God's laws. See, God is the king and you and I are His servants. Sometimes we get that turned around. Sometimes we think we're the king and God is our servant. He is at our beck and call. No, that's not the way it is. God is the king. We are here to serve Him. And you will only find joy in serving Him. That's where joy and fulfillment come in life, from serving the Lord. The third foundation stone is love for righteousness that affects the way you live. You need to have a love for righteousness that will affect the way that you live. Righteousness is a big word, but if you can remember part of that word, if you can remember the word right, that we get out of the word righteousness, you can remember what righteousness is. Righteousness means right actions, right attitudes, and right convictions. If you have that, if you have right actions, right attitudes, and right convictions, you can have joy. But let me tell you that when your righteousness is off kilter, your joy will be too. If things are not right in your life, if you are not carrying out right actions, if you don't have the right attitudes, and you don't have right godly convictions, and you grieve the Holy Spirit in those areas, you will not have joy in your life. Righteousness produces joy. The writer of Hebrews reveals the pattern for entering into the joy of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now this scripture is precisely talking about Jesus. We can apply it to our lives as well. But it was talking about Jesus here, and it says that Jesus loved righteousness and He hated iniquity. He hated doing His own thing. Jesus despised fulfilling His own will. He only wanted to fulfill the will of the Heavenly Father. He loved righteousness. He hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, anointed Him with the oil of gladness above all the fellows, above everyone else who ever lived on the face of the earth. Jesus was a man who knew how to be joyful and glad. He was anointed with this oil of gladness above anybody else that would ever live. And I want you to know that He is our pattern. And if we follow Him, and if we love righteousness, and we hate iniquity, we hate having our own way outside of God's will, God will anoint us with the oil of gladness.
and we will have joy and gladness above all others. The fourth foundation stone is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. True joy can only be found in the Holy Spirit. God has called us to be joyful and to reflect that joy to the world. And when you are crowned with the joy of the Lord, nothing can take that from you. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of Christ. But if your joy is something other than Christ, you'll always be disappointed. And so I'd like to ask this question. What do rejoicing people look like? If the foundation stones are in your life, now what should you look like as a rejoicing person? Let me give you several signs. Rejoicing people worship with joy. Rejoicing people worship with joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is the fullness of joy, complete joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So why waste time on temporary pleasures of the world when our Father has in his right hand everlasting pleasures that can satisfy you, not just outwardly, but can satisfy the inner man as well and can satisfy you for all eternity. Why settle on temporary things that bring a moment of happiness but cannot bring true and lasting joy? Only in the presence of God do we find that joy. And when you come into the presence of God and you feel His presence and know that there is joy at His right hand, you cannot help but worship Him with joy. Number two, rejoicing people enjoy God. They enjoy God. Psalm 5 and verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Parents, do you realize that if you don't serve the Lord with joy, have you ever stopped to think about the consequences to that? What if you don't serve the Lord with joy? What if serving the Lord is a duty for you and your children know that? If you don't serve the Lord with joy, your children will go into bondage and you'll lose them to the world. Your children will go into bondage and you will lose them to the world. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 41, it says, Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Here's a group of people, they always murmured, they always complained. They never rejoiced in the Lord. They always complained to Moses about the Lord's provision. They complained about this, they complained about that. They murmured until they could murmur no more. And God says that because of your murmuring and because you don't rejoice in me, you will have children, you will have sons and daughters, but your children will go into captivity. And that's exactly what happened. Many of them were taken into the Babylonian captivity. A sad account, but it happens. How many people do you know that are not in church today because their parents did not serve the Lord with joy? Their parents, they might have come to church, but they hated coming to church, or they lived with parents who never rejoiced in the Lord. And I want to warn you, if Bible reading, church attendance, and Sunday school are trials to be endured for you as parents, it is no wonder that children never want to set foot in a church. As adults, the greatest thing that we can do for our children and our young people is to enjoy God. Enjoy God. Love God and enjoy God. Have a great time with God. Have a great time in church. To laugh. To have fellowship. To enjoy one another. To enjoy worship. And everything that has to do with the kingdom of God. That is one of the greatest things you could ever do for your children. But I'll tell you, if church is a drudgery and you just go because you have to, your children will know that. And when your children grow up, they are not going to want to go to church. If mom and dad didn't enjoy going to church, I'm not going to enjoy going to church. I know you never do this. I know you never roast pastor at lunch. But don't you ever think about that in front of your children. You don't criticize the pastor or the church in front of your children because they'll pick up on that. And they understand the critical spirit that comes and they'll lose interest in church. I'm trying to keep you from losing your children to the world. I don't want your children to go into the bondage of the world. And so you be a rejoicing Christian. Enjoy church. Enjoy the fellowship of each other. It's a great treasure I think we take for granted anyway. But enjoy God and enjoy each other. The third thing, rejoicing people know how to laugh. They know how to laugh. You say, back that up with Scripture, Pastor. Okay, glad you asked that. Actually, our text, Psalm 126 and verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Also Psalm 89 and verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. What is laughter? Laughter is the sound of flowing joy. When joy is flowing in your life, it'll come out in laughter. Now, if you have lost your laughter, your relationship with the Lord may be suffering. Because Christians are to overflow with joy, and that will come out in laughter. Number four, rejoicing people rejoice in spite of circumstances, not because of circumstances. Rejoicing people rejoice in spite of circumstances, not because of circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. He didn't say, I am joyful in my blessings. And he didn't say, just I'm joyful in all our tribulation. He said, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Even in the midst of troubles, your cup can be full and overflow with biblical joy. Paul wrote to the Philippians that he had learned to be content in all circumstances. He said, I have learned, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. The story that amazes me is Paul and Silas when they were in prison. You know how they had just been beaten? I mean, they had been beaten and they had been beaten. Their feet have been placed in stocks. Their backs are bleeding from the beatings that they had received, and yet they could still sing praises to God. They could still sing praises to God because their joy wasn't based on their circumstances. You know, Paul and Silas there in the Philippian jail, the jail at Philippi, had nobody that they could call to bail them out. Even so, they started singing and rejoicing and praising God. And the Scripture says, at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises. You know what happened, I believe? I believe that when God heard them singing praises, and God heard the joyful sound coming from that prison cell, that God couldn't handle it anymore. God just couldn't take it anymore. And God said, that's enough. And when God sees His people rejoicing in difficult situations and in difficult circumstances, God loses it. And He says, I just can't take it anymore. And so He sends the biggest earthquake. He unlocks the chains. He opens prison doors. And you know, it's like what we do with our children. If we see our children smiling through tears, we will do anything for them. And when God sees His children smiling and rejoicing despite the difficulties, despite the hardships in their life, God says, I'm not going to stand by and just do nothing anymore. I'm going to get involved in their life. And that's when God does the greatest miracles for you or I. And so we have to learn to rejoice in everything. In all things give thanks. And rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing is a powerful, powerful thing. I don't know if you realize this or not, but a church was born in Philippi because of that situation in prison. Because Paul and Silas rejoiced and sang praises to God while they were in prison, a church was formed. And not only was a church formed, in fact, the gospel was started in Europe because of Paul and Silas rejoicing in difficult circumstances. That was the beginning of the gospel being taken to Europe. God can get a lot of mileage out of rejoicing. Start rejoicing. I challenge you, start rejoicing and you'll see miracles as a visible result of rejoicing. Obey God. Rejoice. You know, God only wants what's best for you anyway. He's only going to do what's best. And so we can rejoice in the fact that God will bless us. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians to give thanks in all situations and circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He also tells us to rejoice always in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Can I challenge you to rejoice? Rejoice when you don't feel like it. Rejoice when everything is going wrong. Rejoice when nothing pleases you. Rejoice when you're filled with disillusionment. Rejoice when you have disappointments. Because the key to living the Christian life is the true biblical joy that God wants to give. The prophet Habakkuk outlines the attitude of a mature Christian living in the joy of God. If you'd like to turn there and follow along, I'm going to be reading from Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, and it's verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk is one of those books where you might need to go to the table of contents in the front and find out what page it's on. Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. It's toward the end there in the small section with the minor prophets. What's that, Luke? Zephaniah?
Yeah.
Okay. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Does that sound like a pretty bad situation to you? It does, doesn't it? So what did the prophet say? What did the prophet determine? He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He knew this even though Paul hadn't told him to rejoice in everything yet. He understood. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. And notice the last sentence. Who this is to? To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. He says, put this into song. Put this truth into a song. Write a melody to go along with these words. Yes, you can have joy in difficult circumstances. You can have joy when everything seems to be falling apart and everything is wrong. I in no way wish to make light of anybody's situation. And you might be here tonight and you might be facing some rather grim circumstances. Could I just tell you that this is when you need to rejoice in the Lord most? This is the time when you need to put your trust in Him because He is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoicing people rejoice not for the circumstances, but in spite of the circumstances. Not because of the circumstances, but in spite of them. The fifth thing that a Christian looks like is that, or a rejoicing Christian looks like, is rejoicing people have good health. Now, I know that there are some exceptions to this, but Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Number six, rejoicing people are strong in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Number seven, rejoicing people weep with hope of the morning. Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now the Bible says that you can weep. You don't have to be laughing all the time. The Bible says there are some times, there are some situations in life where you might have to weep, and you can weep, but we weep with hope. And the hope that we have is that morning will come. The trial will pass. The sorrow of heart will go away. And there will be times of refreshing, and there will be times of rejoicing again. And so we don't sorrow with those that have no hope. We have hope, and so we rejoice. Number 8, rejoicing people rejoice as an act of their will. To rejoice as an act of the will is to rejoice by bringing your will into godly submission to the will of God. By bringing your soul into obedience to the Word of God. It's moving from emotionalism to obedience. It's taking the moods of the flesh and bringing them under the rule of God. Some people say, well, I don't feel like rejoicing. But you know what I say? You do a lot of things in life you don't feel like doing. That's truth. We do a lot of things that we don't feel like doing. But there are two words that appear over and over again in the Psalms. And those two words are, I will. I will. They appear over and over again. Psalm 9:1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. 9:2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Psalm 13:5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 31, verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Right now, confess that you can be a rejoicing Christian. Yes, you can. You can be a rejoicing Christian. You can control your moods to some extent by disciplining your will. You start by saying, I will rejoice in this situation. I will give thanks to God in all things. And when your will takes the lead, you will find out that everything else begins to follow. Sometimes we just have to say, God, just go ahead in this situation. God, do what you think is right, and I will trust you. Obey God. Rejoice. Start rejoicing. He only wants what's best for you. And number 9, rejoicing people love faith challenges. Rejoicing people love faith challenges. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What faith challenges are set before you today? The cross that you are called to bear may be heavy, but for the joy that is set before you, you can endure any pain and climb any mountain put before you. Faith can be a joyful experience when its roots are deep in God. What I would like to share with you tonight is a couple of cycles. First of all, we have the victor cycle. And this is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. The victor cycle. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The victor cycle, I don't know why, but these overheads are curling up here. The victor cycle is the way the spiritual man reacts to problems. Here comes the problem. Here comes the affliction. And the point of the affliction, the time of the problem, is the choice point. The point at which we feel distress is the choice point. That is where we say, I'm going to rejoice. I am going to rejoice. I will rejoice. Now, when you rejoice, you wait on God. And what does that do? That's patience. While you're waiting on God, you are exercising patience. And then you see what God does. I should have made that bigger, huh? You see what God does. And while you are patiently waiting on the Lord, God does something and He makes good out of that situation. He makes good out of that problem. He makes good out of that difficulty. We know that all things work together for good, right? To those who love God and are called according to His purposes. So God makes something good out of that problem. And then we have experience. Then comes experience. We find out what God can do if we wait on Him. And if we react right to the problem, we find out what God can do and we gain experience. Now, the next time that problem comes or a different problem comes, we say, I can handle this. I know what to do because I have experience. God has delivered me. God has shown me from previous experiences, previous situations. And now I have experience and I can handle this time around with the Lord's help. And so we have hope. And the end result is that we grow. And our faith is grown. And a problem comes again, and we say we have experience, our faith is grown, we have hope in God, and the Christian life becomes exciting. As we see God take problems and turn them into blessings. As we see the power of God, as we see the miraculous in our life, when we properly respond to situations with joy. And God responds. And the Christian life becomes exciting. But the other cycle is not so exciting. It's the vicious cycle. And this is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, where it talks about being carnally minded. A carnal mind cannot rejoice. And when the choice point comes, when the distress point comes, what are we going to do with the problem? We panic. And we react wrongly. Instead of rejoicing, we react with guilt, anger, fear, or anxiety. Those are just some of the ways we react. Those are probably the top four. Guilt, anger, fear, or anxiety. We may feel personally guilty. We may be angry at somebody else and blame them. The fear can be from a natural cause. And then we worry. We then make defenses or excuses why we can't rejoice. I can't rejoice. This person hurt me. I can't rejoice. There's this problem here that is looming before me, and I fear that problem. I can't rejoice. I'm so worried about that situation. And we make defenses or excuses why we can't rejoice in the way and that we feel the way we do. Now, if joy is like a medicine, these reactions, right here can cause physical hurt and harm. There's a pastor who has been tracing spiritual diseases or physical diseases to spiritual causes and reasons. And he names a lot of things that can come from just these four. These four reactions. Guilt, anger, fear, and anxiety. Stomach, nervous problems, heart problems, even arthritis can be traced back to wrong defenses, wrong reactions. You know, he has said that fear is a major cause of disease. So what I thought was, you know, it'd be interesting, look up the word fear not in the Bible. And so I did a little search. And you know what I discovered? The words fear not occur together in the Bible 365 times, one time for every day of the year. No wonder the Bible says we're not to fear. Fear not. Because it would be such a big problem in our lives. When a problem comes, what do? We panic, we fear. That is just a natural reaction. And people, when they follow this cycle here, this vicious cycle, hopelessness sets in. And people then say, Christianity doesn't work at my point of need. What has happened is they have reacted wrongly to problems. And ultimately, they are defeated. And defeated is actually a pretty mild word here. Sometimes they are brought to the place of death. And once defeat occurs, the cycle continues. And we react wrongly to the problem. And there's more guilt. There's more anger. There's more fear. There's more anxiety. And we feel worse. And the situation gets worse. And it gets more hopeless every time around the circle. And so I want to ask you tonight, where are you in this circle? Which circle represents your life? The victor circle or the vicious circle or cycle? You may say, well, you know, sometimes I'm on the victor side and sometimes though I'm caught in the vicious cycle. And I go back and forth between the two. You know what's happening? You're growing through one experience. But then when the next experience comes, you go backwards and you've lost the growth that you had from the previous situation. And that's where lukewarm Christianity comes in. A.W. Tozer said, turn every stumbling block into a stepping stone. Turn every stumbling block into a stepping stone. So you and I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you to do this. Don't waste good problems. Don't waste good problems. If you have a problem in your life, do you know that this is a great opportunity to you to rejoice and to grow your faith, to gain some experience, to renew your hope, and to grow in faith? Remember, rejoicing. Do you remember this overhead here? Rejoicing is faith in action. I know that one's really small. Rejoicing is faith in action. I see your faith when I see you rejoicing in your problems. That's how I know that you have faith. Rejoicing will help your faith grow, and miracles will follow. Rejoicing, when are you to rejoice? All the time. Especially in bad circumstances, because it's easy to rejoice when things go well. The visible result will be people will see your faith, rejoicing, faith in action, and the end result is that you will see miracles in your life. You trace it if you want to. You look at it, you see people rejoicing, and you see people praising God. That is when God gives the victory. That is when God performed incredible miracles for people. So in conclusion, let me say that the pattern for growth in the early church contained rejoicing. I didn't realize this until just recently, but the pattern for the growth of the early church included rejoicing. This is how this weapon can be used offensively. In Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 46, it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And what did the Lord do? "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Lord added to the church when the church made it a regular practice to demonstrate gladness and praise the Lord on a regular basis. And I would challenge us that the same thing would be true for us. When our heart is filled with gladness and we learn to rejoice and praise God in all things, the Lord will add the increase to His kingdom in our church as a result of our rejoicing. Let's have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. If you're like me, you probably don't want to pray for any problems, any more problems. You probably already have enough problems in your life. And so think about some of those problem areas that you have. And decide right now, make up your mind right now that I will rejoice. I will rejoice in this problem. I will rejoice in this bad circumstance. I will give thanks and I will rejoice. That is the place to begin. That is the place to start. And while you're there, sitting there right now, just tell the Lord, Lord, I do rejoice, not for this problem, but I'm rejoicing in spite of this problem. And Lord, I look forward to how you are going to grow my faith through this situation, through this circumstance that I am in. If you have found yourself feeling guilty or becoming angry or filled with fear or worry, you need to confess that to the Lord this evening. Say, Lord, I confess the wrong reaction that I have to these problems. Lord, forgive me. And from now on, I purpose to rejoice in it. If you are facing a problem and you are purposing to rejoice, I wonder if I could just see your hand up and then down. Amen. Amen. Most of us, if not all of us, have some kind of problem in our life. Lord, you see these hands. I pray, Lord, that these problems would not be wasted. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't respond wrongly and be caught up in a vicious cycle. But, Lord, we do purpose to rejoice and praise you and to be thankful, because we know that at the end result of this will be for our good. And Lord, we place ourselves inside that victor's cycle tonight. With both feet, we jump in. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would grow our faith, that you would take us through experience, hope, and growth for your honor and for your glory. And we pray, Lord, that our lives would be able to reach others, that they would see our rejoicing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God cannot, he can, but he probably will not do the miraculous until you rejoice. When you rejoice, that opens the way for God to do the miraculous in your life. Could we have a couple of choruses I wanted to sing? I know it's getting late. Huh? Well, this first chorus is a really oldie. It's an oldie but a goodie. Running Over. How many of you know this one? Running Over, My Cup is Full and Running Over. I'm trying to think of you know the actions that go with this one? No? Anybody knows, they can come up here and lead it. Let's try it together. You know what? She isn't standing. All right. Sharon knows it. Well, everybody turn around and watch Sharon as we sing this. Everybody knows it. Let's try it. Running over, running over, Oh, you know this one better. Shout out to the Lord. God bless you. Go in the joy of the Lord.